Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sal's joining us on the Westra Hotline as we'll talk some Bills football with him. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Good morning, Sal. How are you?
Good morning. I woke up and did the same thing. I haven't done it yet, but I said, oh, Lorenzo was on this morning, so I'm going to go back and rewind that.
And you can go back 24 hours. How cool is that?
Cool. So I could don't have to wait till on demand. So that's it's a really cool feature. I like it.
Injury report. What do we need to know, Sal?
I think the big thing to know is that yesterday after practice, John Brown popped up on the injury report and the practice participation report, I should say. It's not really officially, it is an injury report, but you know, with that, the status doesn't come out until Friday, obviously, for games. But he popped up with a limited participation with a groin injury. And that could mean anything, guys. I mean, he may have just felt discomfort and left the practice. He could have had something happen that's very concerning. We don't know that. So we'll wait until today to find out. So that's the one thing I think that's notable on a negative side. The positive, obviously, getting a lot of guys back full, including Cody Ford, who was in concussion protocol, Robert Foster, who had a groin injury, Taron Johnson, who had a hamstring injury, Tyler Kroft, full practice, ankle injury, Mitch Morse, who had an ankle injury, full, Trent Murphy was in concussion protocol after the last game, and then Devin Singletary, full practice with the hamstring. So I think all those are really good. And then Corey Thompson, limited, you know, that's a good sign. He's starting to get back.
I was going to ask you about Tyler Kroft. I feel like we've been down this road before. So I wasn't even – maybe I should just wait until Tyler Kroft plays and then the day
probably
after
right.
the game ask you, hey, what'd you think of Tyler Kroft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I talked to him in the locker room after the after practice. He's obviously super excited to get out there, but he also was super excited the last time, and he had that setback. We know he had the other injury, so you know. But he's really, really excited, and he feels good. He feels like he's put in like really good work to get here, and that he's going to be ready if and when he's called upon. There's no guarantee he's going to play Sunday, so we'll see. But I know that he's ready, and he wants to get out there as soon as possible.
The whole thing about Miami and being a big favorite and all this stuff, you guys, a number of media were bringing that up with Sean McDermott yesterday with other players in the locker room. Hey, you know, you guys were, what would it have been, 16.5 underdog at Minnesota and they won the game. What's the general reaction when you talk to those guys about the heavy favorite and or taking a team for granted, being overconfident going into this game?
You know, I think we all understand that Sean McDermott gets a lot of people think, oh, he's boring, or he's always kind of close to the vest. He never does anything. He's always the same guy. This is why. This is a great example of why he's like that. And you have to understand that, like, he has tried to build a mentality and a culture and a organizational belief that every day stays the same, no matter who you're playing, no matter if you're a 16-point favorite or you're a 16-point underdog. We approach every day the exact same. So that's why you never get anything different, because that's something that's calculated. That's been put into place for 3 years now. It's the same reason that they got to a playoff game against Jacksonville, and he was the exact same way as he would be this week, or that he was when they were 16-point underdogs against Minnesota, like you referenced. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference from week to week and from day to day. I'm down there every day. I can never tell a difference on who they're playing or what the point spread is. We know because we ask them about it, but the way they go about their business, you would never know. So that's what you get from the players too. And you can feel that and you can hear that. It doesn't matter who you ask. They will give you the same answer today playing the Miami Dolphins as 16.5-point favorites as they will if they were 16.5-point underdogs in Minnesota last week or playing the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Now, sure, do they know that they're playing a team that's winless? Of course. But again, I'll go back to other coaches like Rex Ryan, they weren't like that. It was a little bit different. You could get a sense of a feeling of guys were, I'm not even going to say overconfident, but they had a certain swagger about them when they had games like this and like, yeah, we're going to go out there, we're going to do our thing, and, you know, we're going to keep this team down. This is, nope, respect our opponent. They can beat us. But every single day is the exact same, and this is why it is.
The press conference yesterday with Sean McDermott, we were talking about the answer about Ed Oliver, which we found rather interesting, that he started to say he was pleased and then literally said, let me pull that back. What was that all about?
I gotta go back and look at that, and I don't have it. You gotta look at the tape. Fingertips
again.
You gotta
go back and listen to the tape, huh? Okay.
I gotta go back. I do have to go back and look at the transcript now that you said that.
I've got it in front of me.
What was the exact question here?
Yeah.
Because I'm probably busy typing when he's talking and saying that.
The question, he was asked about how Oliver's 287. Now he's in the NFL. He's going against guys that have 30, 40 pounds on him. Is he able to handle the size difference? He didn't see it too much in college. Well, actually, no. It was before that. It was about how he's got no sacks. But do you feel like he's done what you expected of him doing right now in this system? And he talked about learning how to play, and it's an unselfish position at defensive tackle. And he started to say, it's a fine line there with respect to the job description for a defensive tackle, and I've been pleased. Let me pull that back. Not pleased, but I feel like we're moving in the right direction with our young players, including Ed.
I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
I guess so.
I remember that now. And now I'm looking at the transcript again.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I just know that Ed Oliver really wants to get a sack. He's voiced that. He's said that. And sometimes I think when that happens, guys start to press a little bit, and maybe that's what's happening. I'm not really sure. I know that, you know, Jordan Phillips had a really good game, as you know, against Tennessee. He played third downs. There were some where Ed Oliver came off, and maybe they were just rotating, you know. I mean, they don't have Harrison Phillips now, right? So maybe they were just rotating a little bit more. But it was noticeable, you know, that Jordan was out there, and obviously he had the sacks. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's criticizing Ed Oliver there. I think if anything, what he's saying is he wants to make sure Ed is doing what he's supposed to be doing and not giving him reaffirmation that, you know, he can just kind of do what he has to do to get a sack, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I think because Sean, that's the way he is a lot of times, where he doesn't want to put out there that, yeah, this guy's doing exactly all the things right all the time, because he wants everybody to know we need to keep working every day, we need to keep improving every day. And that's kind of his way of doing that through the media.
Okay.
I wonder, Sal, you know, I think if you hear enough about Oliver, I'm not trying to paint this like it is a problem, but I think what you hear from the Bills is they're working with a young player. And whether it's not that there's an attitude problem, but maybe there are some habits, maybe there's something a little bit different, because whenever they, I don't want to say whenever they talk about him, but there just seems to be a little something to that.
To add into that, Sal, I don't have Monday's transcript in front of me, but Leslie Frazier was asked the same question, right? And didn't he said something on Monday about, to paraphrase, to Ed's credit, he's not going beyond the system. Like, he's not trying to, you know, go out of his way to get a sack. He's staying within the system. He's doing what the coaches are asking him to do, which might go to Jeremy's point about, you know, maybe you might worry about a kid getting frustrated and basically freelancing so he can get a sack. And here's Frazier saying he's not. He's doing what we ask him to do in our system.
Yeah, and again, I mean, if you talk to Ed Oliver, like, you know, you it's clear, like, he wants to get a sack, and he hasn't had one yet. And I think he's played pretty well. I think he's had times where he's pressured the quarterback. He's impacted the play. But I think by this point, if you would have asked anybody after they drafted him 6 weeks into the season, you know, do you think Ed Oliver, five games in, how many sacks would he have? I doubt people would think he'd have zero on the board, right? And I think he sees that. He feels probably pressure to live up to his draft status, to live up to his playing status, basically, and what people thought of him coming out. And I think he's going to be a good player in this league still. But it is interesting, and I think that the way that Sean especially answers questions, even Leslie, it's calculated to make sure that the player is also understanding that, you know, they're being told, hey, you know, we're not giving you carte blanche to do whatever you want, but, you know, we just have to keep working every day and get there. And I think that that's their way of telling Ed the same thing, like, just keep doing what you're doing and not try to press.
Josh Allen met with you guys yesterday too, Sal. Did he have anything to say in terms of how he's felt, how he feels about his first few games and what he needs to do better coming out of the bye the rest of the season?
No, I mean, look, Josh is always going to tell you the same things, which is he has to understand when he can make certain decisions, when he can't. Taking care of the ball is always something that, you know, he talks a lot about. You know, he's always aware, it seems, to when he makes that he's making certain decisions that are hurting the team, right? He's making certain throws that are hurting the team, and he always says that. And he has to not put the ball in harm's way, as he said. That's what he said yesterday. Things that he's working on. So coming out of the bye week, good time for him to kind of step back and look at that. But we've heard that before, and I'll always say it, Howard. You and me and Jeremy, we're going to be sitting here maybe years from now. We might be having the same discussion, hopefully not at the level we are now, But I think he's always going to have a little bit of that in him, and he's going to say, yeah, I got to know better not to do that. Because it's just – it's who he is. It's in his DNA to do stuff like that. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's been in the league 15 years. And now he's not – he doesn't have the talent that Josh Allen has. But he still puts 50-50 balls up all the time and just like, okay, if I throw an interception, I throw an interception.
Yeah. Yeah, and but I guess, you know, right, but with Fitz, we know who he is. He's just a journeyman quarterback. We don't want to be having this discussion in 15 years.
I know, but Brett Favre was the same way. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Josh wouldn't be here in 15 years if he was Ryan Fitzpatrick. So
I understand that, but yeah. Again, okay, but Brett Favre did the same thing,
yeah,
and he's a Hall of Famer.
Which is fine, because Brett Favre could get you 350 yards and 3 touchdowns with a crazy pick, and I'm completely good with that.
Well, I know. I'm telling you, I think we'll be here. He's never going to be the guy that always makes the right decision and doesn't turn the ball. He's going to have these things. This is who he is. But again, if you want to take that completely out of him, then you're also going to take away some of the ability to have those games that you want.
Right. No, I'd rather leave it in him and have him have some big games. Yeah, I'll live with it.
I'll trade one touchdown for one pick all day long.
Right, and I think that's probably what you're looking at even in the future. I think that it's limiting it. It's not. To me, it's never going to be about eliminating it.
No,
I think it's limiting it.
Let me say what I mean there. I don't mean that
at the end of the year.
I don't mean one touchdown and one pick is okay.
Right.
But whatever he's doing now, you know, if you throw 4 touchdowns and 4 picks, and people never talk like this, everyone's so afraid of turnovers. 4 touchdowns is 28 points. Mm-hmm. 4 picks with this defense is how many points?
Yeah,
that's right.
14,
right?
Maybe,
you know, like
maybe
it shouldn't be 20.
As long as this defense is built the way it is, I'll take a touchdown for a pick because of the way that they play. And that just means that if he's throwing deep and he's making some mistakes, I can live with it. Because interceptions an interception for Ryan Fitzpatrick is much more damaging than an interception for Josh Allen on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Allen, yeah, that's right. That's right. And but here's the thing, though. We all recognize he won't have the same defense as
sure. In his individual development, that's fine. But like in this moment, it's kind of like it's kind of like the contract window, Sal. You know, when you've got a cheap quarterback, you do things a little differently. When you've got an expensive quarterback, the same way. So it's not to say I want him to get all crazy loose with the football, but just that it's a perfect scenario to kind of learn that you can't get away with that. Your defense is bailing you out. That's not always going to be there. It's kind of like. It's a little bit like training wheels on some level, that this thing is here to protect you. It's a safety net. And for now, you can get away with it, even though he's trying to learn to stop it as much as he can.
Yeah, and you know, when people look at some of the offensive numbers, where they are, and the fact they're still growing, and like I refer to, remember Monday I did a show basically based on Scott Kaxmar's tweet. Did you read that tweet about how he said, boy, the number 2 team in the AFC had to have a 16-point comeback. It went late against the Bengals to beat them. Excuse me while I throw up, or something like that he wrote, right? And, you know, I look at that and I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to win the league. There's not one way you have to win. And the way the Bills have chosen is it's okay to win with defense as we bring the offense along. You know, that's not who the Kansas City Chiefs are, obviously. So that's who they are right now. They understand they're an offense that's still evolving and an offense they're still bringing along. And they're doing that while they have a great defense. And they know we have a really good defense and we can continue to bring our offense along. We don't have to go out there and score 30 points a game to win. So we're not going to try and score 30 points a game to win. So we're never going to have those kinds of numbers that those teams have. And I think that's just people have to understand that that's where the Bills are in relation to their development compared to where other teams are. And they're okay with that right now as they move along.
Sal on the Western Hotline. Mr. Capaccio, thank you. Book us for Football Friday on your schedule, please.
I'll try. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Squeeze you in.
You're a good man.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.